Hallelujah, for unto us a child is born. Glad to see you here today. We are in Isaiah chapter 9, going to be doing verses 6 and 7, kind of our theme for this month. We'll also be in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. We're glad to see you today. Thank you so much also to Aaron and Mary and our choir. What a great job they have done. And all month, all year, we appreciate our music ministry. And it has been kind of traditional here that the last couple of Sundays in December, as you know, many of you know, Auburn begins to empty out and we do not have near as many. But in a year that the Lord has done more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine, why would we think it'd be, wouldn't it be different this year? And so you have come and we're glad you're here. We are having the one service on Christmas Eve, and we do have an overflow. We are having the one service on the 29th. There's not an overflow, and so we're glad that you're here. What were we thinking, only having one service today? But we're glad to see you today. But it is good to gather together every now and then, all together as one church. We recognize not the time that we worship, but it is our mission and an opportunity to be able to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which keeps us unified as well. And some of you have to admit it, somebody was sitting in your seat today, because it's hard to come in two services, and some of you had the same seat just at different hours. But sometimes that happens, but we're glad to see you today, and it's exciting times. I tell you what, you want to be here for the 29th, because if you come in you don't have a seat, you're part of the choir automatically, I think. Maybe that'll happen. No, we appreciate our choir. They're here at 9 o'clock today. They've been here an hour and a half already, and the preparations for all that is taking place today. So we are excited. Isaiah chapter 9, we'll read our theme verses again. Verses 6 and 7 says this: "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. It was Mary Lou who asked the question first. You know who Mary Lou Who is? That's the daughter of Lou Who and Betty Lou Who, and the sister of Stu Lou and Drew Lou Who. I think I probably said her name wrong. Maybe it was Cindy Lou Who, not Mary Lou Who. But she was the first one to ask the question, what is the meaning of Christmas? And the very first answer she got, well, it is the presents. In fact, it was the Grinch who began to say that there must be something more. Now, by the time the end of the story or the end of the movie or show or whatever comes, they don't say exactly what the more is, but it does have something to do with family and friends and fellowship and fun, perhaps. Many people still ask the question, what is the meaning of Christmas? And even some who know the right answer, the Christ child, the birth, death, resurrection, salvation provided by Jesus, still ask the question, shouldn't there be something more to Christmas? Shouldn't it go smoother? Shouldn't I feel better? Why do I get caught up in the hustle and the bustle and the stress of the holiday season? Well, we celebrate today the Christ child in this time of year, born in Bethlehem, because we understand that we are in need and we need to make him the Lord of our life, and we need to remember, surrender to the will of a mighty God. Only God Almighty has the power to take the care of the universe and take control of our life. And we've been looking at the names of Jesus, and some of those in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And when we know Jesus as Wonderful, he makes life worth living. When we know Jesus as Counselor, he helps us in our decisions in life. And today, as we talk about, when we know Jesus as Mighty God, he gives us the power for daily living. It is my intention that you come a little closer to Jesus with the names that we are focusing on. Some of you are using an Advent book that talks about 25 names or more of Jesus. Something happens when you come closer to the Savior. When you come closer, you know a little bit more about Jesus. You even recognize and becomes a little bit more clear about you, and maybe the sins that you need to forgive, that you need to confess, changes that you may need to make in your life, and the difference that you can make when Jesus is Lord. So I invite you this season, this week, at this time, to come a little bit closer. In fact, I invite you even today with me, let's come a little bit closer as we reflect upon this name for Jesus, unleashing the power of a mighty God for daily living. It is the battle for every believer to keep Christ in Christmas. It's the battle for every believer to keep Jesus the center of your life. If there is no Christ, there is no Christmas. But the prophet tells us to know Jesus, that is K-N-O-W, to know Jesus is to know God. Leo Tolstoy, the Russian writer, said, "I believe Christ was a man like ourselves. To look upon him as God would seem to me the greatest of sacrileges." Well, we disagree. For that is who the prophet said that the Christ child was and is. Did Christ claim to be God? Well, just from the Gospel of John, let's take a look and you see with me and consider the claims that were made about Jesus. In John chapter 5 and verse 23 it says, and Jesus said that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent me. John 10 and verse 30 he said, "I and the Father are one." And they knew exactly what he was talking about because all of the religious leaders, the religious people began to pick up stones and rocks in order that they might stone him. John chapter 12 says, "And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me, believe not in me, but in him who sent me. Whoever sees me, sees him who sent me." And then in John chapter 10 and verse 28, we know that Thomas, after he saw the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus, Thomas cried out and answered him, "My Lord and my God." The Apostle Paul wrote, Romans chapter 9 and verse 5, "Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen." Jesus healed hundreds, if not thousands, while on earth and did many miracles, each reflecting the mighty power of God. And on one occasion, before healing of a paralytic, the one who was lowered down by four friends from the roof, before he healed him, he revealed not only the physical healing, but the spiritual healing that was to take place. And he said, "So that you might know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins, get up, pick up your mat and go home." And he healed the man and forgave his sins, proving that he was God. His name declares he is God. An angel told Joseph, "Mary will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus." Jesus means the Lord is salvation. A lot of Hebrew boys would have been named Joshua or the name Jesus. Jesus being the Greek equivalent to the Hebrew name of Joshua. In honor of that Old Testament hero and warrior that is found in the Old Testament, many good Jewish parents would name their baby boy Joshua or would name their baby boy Jesus. But Jesus, the Christ, was the only one who lived up to it. I said a couple of weeks ago that Jesus' first name, according to Isaiah 9:6, was Counselor. But actually, Isaiah had a name even before that that was picked out. And it from Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, he had given him the name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. In Matthew 1, Mary was told he was the only one who is the Son of God. On the Friday before Easter, there were at least three formal trials, six altogether, and then Jesus was sentenced to the cross. We're told that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was near. She was present at the foot of the cross. Imagine what difference it would have made had Mary given testimony or allowed to have given testimony about Jesus. Some say that she could have saved him from the cross. Why would she be silent? Except that she knew that he was God, born in the flesh for this very purpose. Since he is God, we are to worship him. In fact, the psalmist said in Psalm 45 and verse 1, "Because he is your Lord, bow down and worship him." He deserves our trust and our service and our obedience. People often want to earn or keep their salvation by being good or by being obedient. Let us not keep trying to be good or to do good because we want to make points with God, but simply let us do what is pleasing to him because Jesus is God and all that we should do should honor him. General Lew Wallace, author of Ben-Hur, said that he gave 6 years of his life to the impartial investigation of Christianity and the claims about Jesus Christ. This is what he said. He said, "I've come to the deliberate conclusion that Jesus Christ was the Messiah of the Jews, the Savior of the world, and my personal Savior. Jesus and his claims cannot be avoided. Each of us must decide about him." Isaiah says that Jesus is God. What about you? What you believe about Jesus does make a difference. You may believe that he is the God of the universe. You may have already given your heart and life to Jesus. Be a believer, put your faith in him, and know that he is God incarnate, and know that your future is secure. So why not believe today that as mighty God, you can let him be the Lord of your life today. You can let him be Lord of your life this week and as you live for him in the days to come. For to know Jesus is to know God. The Jesus that you know also, the Jesus that you know who's the Jesus of the Bible, has power over everything. The Jesus you know has power over everything. Consider for just a moment three attributes of God. One, he is omnipresent. He is omnipresent. He is free from laws of limitations of space. He can be anywhere and everywhere all at the same time. We are to be careful not to limit God in our thinking of the natural laws that he created for us. He is omniscient. He has perfect knowledge. He is all-knowing. He knows all past, present, and future. He knows every decision that you're going to make, that you've ever made, you're ever going to make in the future. Yet, you still have the choice on those decisions that you're going to make. We may not understand all of that or how that can be, but it's part of what we understand by faith in the mystery of the Lord God. It's basic to our beliefs. If your concept of God is a God that you can totally understand and there's no mystery to your ideas about him, your God or your idea about God may be way too small. Also, we recognize he's omnipotent. He has absolute power. Everything he does is in harmony with his wise and holy and perfect nature. All the laws of the universe are under his control. He holds everything in place. We know that he can stop the wind. He can bring the dead back to life, heal the sick, feed the multitudes. But even when he chooses not to do those things, even when he does not use his miraculous power to help us, his power is not diminished. For he works out all things for good to those who love him, to all those who are called according to his purpose. That's real power. The baby that we sang about just a moment ago, the baby lying seemingly helpless in a manger next to Mary and Joseph, holds all the universe together. Even as baby Jesus, he was at the center of power. His birth affected outer space and a dazzling star appeared. The star arose and the magi from the east came searching for him, who left their homes to travel in search of that new king. You think this might have been the original Star Wars, or maybe more like Star Trek. The birth of Jesus affected the heavens and brought angels to the simple shepherds on the hillside at night. Midnight came as midday as the glory of the Lord shone all around them. Nothing was made that has been made without the power of Jesus at work, we are told. He was not created. He is the creator, being called the Word. The writer of the book of Hebrews tells us that in the past God spoke by the fathers and by the prophets, but in these last days he speaks by the Son. History is actually his story. Once you know Jesus and once you know the New Testament, then as you read the Old Testament, and even throughout history, you recognize and see Jesus and footsteps of Christ. Genesis chapter 3, it said that the seed of woman shall crush the head of Satan. Well, who is the seed of woman who shall crush the head of Satan? Well, it's Jesus himself. Abraham met the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, almost 2,000 years before he was born in Bethlehem. Joshua in Joshua chapter 5, before the battle of Jericho, he meets with the one who's called the commander of the Lord. He bowed and worshiped him and called him Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in the fiery furnace, and there's one that comes that appears with him, and it is Jesus who is there. When the disciples were on the road to Emmaus, Jesus taught them all things, though they did not recognize him yet. He'd been resurrected. They didn't recognize him. But he taught them all things about himself, from Moses and all the scriptures. Every page, every chapter contains the footprints of Jesus. His mighty powers was revealed in the miracles, but especially in the cross and the resurrection. This is central to the message of the gospel. Some people draw or illustrate Jesus as kind of a weak man, like maybe he'd been starving all his life with his ribs sticking out, perhaps, or that's how sometimes he is presented. I think that is unfortunate. But how do you picture Jesus when he was a man that he was here on earth? I kind of like the Jesus that they've chosen, or for the chosen, the Jesus that they have in the chosen. But you know, we really don't know whether he was a Barney Fife in stature or more like the Dwayne Rock Johnson or somebody like that. We don't know, but we recognize and we understand that even though he was said to be meek, meekness is not weakness. Its proper definition is power under control. In this case, it's the greatest power of all. What does that mean to us as believers today? Consider for a moment all things under the control of the one called the mighty God. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He is ever-present. You are made in the image of God. And even though the Lord controls all things, he has allowed it to, we make the decision to allow him to have control over our life. We must submit to him and give Jesus control. You must be able to say, Lord, I'm tired of trying to run things on my own. I'm tired of trying to be the Lord of my own life. You take control, and then you will begin to unleash the power of God for daily living. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17 says, Ah, Lord, it is you who made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too hard for you. Jeremiah being our study book for January and sermon series for January, looking forward to that. But let me ask you this morning, have you stepped a little bit closer? If Jesus' name is Mighty God, then to know Jesus is to know God. And if the Jesus you know has the power over everything, except he has chosen to make it your choice to give him power over your life, give him control today. Well, also you can know the power of Jesus as it is revealed personally. You can know the power of Jesus as it is revealed personally. If you want to know what it would look like to have the power of God unleashed in your life, and probably we could say this about many verses, but in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we find the prayer of the Apostle Paul for the church. And this is what he prays. And I believe it's a recognition of what happens when we give the Lord control of our life. It says in verse 9, And so from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. I want you to notice, if you have your Bible still open, or is it still not still on the screen, but notice in verse 9 it says, all spiritual. Notice the all spiritual wisdom and understanding in verse 9. And then in verse 11, strengthened with all power. The power of God is available to you through Jesus Christ. On the cross, we remember that Jesus cried out, Tetelestai, meaning it is finished. Salvation is not something that Jesus started and then you've got to complete. He did not put down the down payment and then decide later that you've got to keep up the payments or the installments. He's done everything necessary so that you might be able to know and experience his power and work in and through your life. The reason that many Christians do not experience God's power is because we do not admit that we are weak and that we are in need. We are too often too strong in our own selves, or maybe too full of ourselves. But we remember that the Apostle Paul said, For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. A maturing faith realizes that God truly can do all things, coupled with a realization of his strength and our own weakness, unleashes the power of God so that it is revealed personally. Consider what God did through people like Abraham, Moses, Gideon, David, Daniel, Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, Peter, Paul, and other believers throughout church history. He is still looking for believers who can become channels of his mighty power. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, it says, For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. He wants to show himself strong through you and through me. I believe that Christmas is sometimes a squeezer. And that is, sometimes things that we may not necessarily people be able to see in our lives throughout the year, sometimes Christmas or this season will squeeze us in such a way that they'll see something inside of us that they may not normally see other times of the year. Sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it brings out a very best. Sometimes it can bring out a very worst. Are you afraid of what might be on the inside? Well, turn your heart and your life and every day over to Him and see what God can do. Jesus, as mighty God, has the power to work in and through your everyday struggles. Jesus, as mighty God, has the power to work in and through your everyday struggles. Whatever may be your burden or battle today or this holiday season, even a weak faith needs to be strengthened. God has the power to meet it, handle it, solve it, use it for His honor and for your good. Jesus Christ is mighty God, and His power is available to us. We're able to experience a resurrected kind of life until the day that we are resurrected to be with Him. Let God unleash His resurrection power through you. A few days ago, I came across a card that I'd copied, written some time back by kids in the church. They were writing Christmas cards, and they were, that may be it right there. We'll see. Merry Christmas. I saw it on there. Yeah, I was connected. But cards are written by some kids. They were writing to prisoners, firemen, and policemen. I don't think they knew who they were writing to. They were just writing cards. It was going to go to some of those. And so I copied it down for you. Let's see if we've got that. It'll come up. So here's one of the cards. Merry Christmas. Remember, I'm sure, remember, Christmas is not for presents. It's for the birth of Jesus. Jesus is God's Son. I want you to become a Christian. You know that Jesus is God's Son and that He died on the cross for our sins. I don't want to scare you or anything, but when you die, and if you're not a Christian, you'll go to a place that is not good. And remember, if you become a Christian, it is from your heart and not anything else. Jesus loves you despite the things you do, not because of the things you do. Jesus loves you despite the things you do, not because of the things you do. I hope this letter will let you become a Christian. And if you become a Christian, you'll be doing the right thing. Love. I want to, that's good theology. I wish I could say something as simple and as profound as that for many people to hear. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But the greatest miracle and the greatest power revealed on earth, the salvation of a person who is lost and are heading toward hell, and when they come to know Jesus instead, they have a home that is prepared for them in heaven. One of the great preachers of the past was D.L. Moody of the Moody Bible Institute. When Dr. Moody was on his deathbed, his son was by his side. Just before he died, he told his son that he could see heaven opening up for him. He said, if this is heaven, it's beautiful. And he began to describe a bright, glorious heaven. Then he said, I see my grandsons. Last words before he died. He had two grandsons who had died a few years earlier. I share that with you because if we are His children, we've already experienced the greatest power there is. That is the resurrected power of Jesus. And all that we experience on earth is an outflow of our salvation experience. And we are to live a life of gratefulness for all that He hath done. We will one day experience Jesus to the fullest. And if you're not a believer today, there's an invitation to you. In fact, Jesus has written you a letter, and it's called the Bible, so that you might be able to know Him. There's a child wrote you a letter and wrote you an invitation. In contrast to the experience of D.L. Moody, there was a cardiologist in Knoxville that had been brought up in church and Sunday school, but for many years he'd turned away from church, turned away from God. And one day he had a patient on the treadmill who suddenly went into heart cardiac arrest and his heart stopped beating. Dr. Meade began to do CPR. His heart started again. And for a moment he regained consciousness, and when he did, he yelled a blood-curdling scream, I'm in agony. Help me, I'm in hell. And he began to breathe, and then suddenly he stopped breathing again and fell back. Doctor did CPR again. Again, he brought him back into consciousness a second time, yelling, help me, I'm in hell, do something. And all the doctor could remember was a prayer that he learned in Sunday school. So he asked him to pray it. Pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he prayed it. All of a sudden, he breathed a sigh of relief and said, it's beautiful. And his heart stopped beating for the last time. From that event, that day forward, Dr. Maurice Rawlins made a serious commitment to following the Lord Jesus Christ. The realities of heaven and hell are serious because it took a mighty God to reveal to us the truth and the way to salvation. I would be wrong this morning not to ask you if you know my God. His name is Jesus. And do you know him personally? And if not, today, before you leave this room, that you can ask the Lord to forgive you of all of your sins. You can put your belief and faith in him, and you can ask Christ to be your Savior and Lord, and Jesus will come in. Jesus says, Mighty God has the power to work in and through you to make a difference and to build his kingdom. To make a difference and to build his kingdom. A lot of people, a lot of believers want to see God at work. Well, I want to ask you, stop looking everywhere else. But instead, let the mighty God do a work in you. Make a total life-changing commitment to him, and you will experience God like never before this Christmas and in the days to come. Let's bow together. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to come into your house and be able to sing of the wondrous Christ child who was born in Bethlehem so that we might be able to know and to have life. We thank you for the promises of God's word. We thank you that we can know and we can understand. We thank you for the invitation that has been given to all here. Many here have already received it. Father, we pray for those who need to receive it today. We pray for all of us, Father, that we may be able to understand and have a maturing faith and give you control of our life as a mighty God, and that you might be able to do a great work. We've seen your hand at work many, many places, many, many times with many people. Father, we pray that that will continue, and we'll continue to see many more. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. It's in Jesus' name we lift these prayers. Amen. Would you please stand? We'll be singing our song of commitment today. And we encourage you today, on this day, what a great time, Sunday before Christmas, that if you need to give your heart and life to Jesus, that you ask Christ to come in and be your Lord and Savior today. Maybe you need to come and talk to somebody. Our ministry team will be standing down here as well. You just come, stand next to one of us, and we'll be glad to talk to you about what it means to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe you've already done it, but you've not made it public, and we encourage you to come make it public today. Maybe you need to come for baptism. If you're looking to join the church, this will be a good time. You can just come. Let us know that you want to be part of the Parkway Baptist Church family. We'll tell you next steps from there. Our altar is open. We have plenty of time. You can come and pray at the altar. Come and pray with one of us as we sing together. You come.